there are rules in photography that have been, quote unquote, developed over many, many years since the very first image was taken. And these rules, when used, I mean, rules are meant to be broken. There are instances when rules can be broken. But for the most part, these rules, when put into place and used correctly, are what makes an image a good image.
Hey there. Welcome to the Complete Wedding Photography for Couples podcast. Do you know that the number one regret for most couples after their wedding is usually their photographs? Tammy will share all the knowledge and expertise she has gained over the years to help you get the very best wedding images from your photographer. The conversations on this podcast are going to help you understand how almost every decision you make for your wedding day directly affects your photographer. Tammy is going to give you the knowledge and awareness you need to create a nearly perfect position for your photographer to be in on your wedding day. And that means better images for you to remember your special milestone. Tammy Blaylock is an internationally awarded, nationally featured wedding photographer and published author. Since 2010, she has excelled in helping each of her couples capture beautiful, emotive images from their big day. Tammy wants your wedding day to be as perfect as you do. So tune in and listen up, because this episode's about to begin.
All right. Hello and welcome here. My name is Tammy and I am the host for the Complete Guide to Wedding Photography for Couples Getting Married. I am just elated that you're here and you're listening, and I want to extend the warmest of welcomes to you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to learn how to set your wedding photographer up for success and how to eliminate all of the obstacles and challenges that you didn't even know you might be creating for your wedding photographer. I would just like to remind you, if you like today's tips, there are about 1,000 others just like it in my book available on Amazon. I believe that a photographer's brain power should be used to create beautiful images on your wedding day, not necessarily for problem solving that may or may not relate to photography on your wedding day. I have had the best weekend, guys, that I've had in a long time. Both of my daughters and my grandbabies have been with me since Friday. All the days have kind of ran together, but they have both been here since Friday. We have been all under the same roof and just been enjoying each other's company. Friday was the first day that my oldest daughter and grandson got to meet my granddaughter, who was born on January the 11th. And it was also the first time that my best friend got to also meet my granddaughter. So we have been just sitting around, visiting with other friends and family and eating and just having a good old time. And it's been the best weekend that I've had in a long time. We've just been enjoying each other's company. It's been very, very pleasant. With that, let's get on to today's episode. I want anyone shopping for a wedding photographer, or any photographer for that matter, to stop shopping only on price. Time and time again, I see couples shopping only on price. I see it in Facebook groups that concentrate around wedding planning, and I see it when I have potential couples contact me. The first question is usually, how much does it cost? I believe that the main reason potential couples ask this is because they are probably first-time shoppers for a professional photographer, and they don't really know enough about wedding photography to ask anything else. So they fall back on the one thing that they do understand and that they do know about, which is money. So they ask, how much does this cost? Couples' number one regret after the wedding tends to be the photographs that they receive. I would venture to guess that this is because it's one of the few things that couples buy for their weddings that extend past the day of the wedding. Brides usually don't continue to wear their dress, and no food or cake is eaten beyond a few days past the wedding, and flowers are tossed out after a few days, and they, you know, usually the same day, sometimes, you know, in a few instances, they leave the church or the venue after a few days. DJ leaves that same night. The only other product or service I can think of that couples keep for years on end after their wedding is the video footage. But I don't even think that 50% of couples invest in videography based on the weddings I shoot. You know, I could be wrong. I would guess that it's somewhere along the lines of about 40%. But nearly every couple, probably 90 to 95% of couples getting married, have a wedding photographer. So in the next two episodes, in today's episode and in my next episode, I'm going to be giving you the questions you should be asking and the things you should be looking at in order to make a better educated decision when hiring your wedding photographer. Believe it or not, there are better photographers at every single price point. Let me repeat that. There are better photographers at every price point. But you have to know what to look for. So let me help you. The first thing is, couples should try and learn what good photography is. You don't have to become, you know, a master photographer. You don't have to learn every single nuance about wedding photography. If you just learn the basics, learn some of the rules, this will help you immensely when looking for your wedding photography. Let me ask you this question. Name another high-priced ticket item that you would buy based only on price and appearance. Would you buy a car just by looking at it and knowing what it costs? No, you wouldn't. You would learn about gas efficiency, miles per gallon. You would want to know something like, What is its horsepower? What is the safety rating? How many passengers can it carry? What is the field of view as I'm driving? How comfortable is it when I sit in it? What is its towing capacity? And what kind of bells and whistles does it have? Would you buy a house just from standing in the front yard and looking at it and knowing what it costs? No, you would not. You would want to know about the school district that it's in. If you have children, you would want to know about its property taxes. You would want to know how old the house is, how many bedrooms it has, what's its total square footage, what side of town it's on, how close is it to your office, etc. How about clothing? Would you buy it just on how it looks and what it costs? No. You would want to know how it fits, what kind of material it's made out of, how well is it sewn, where was it made, what are the washing instructions, and the designer, you know, who's on the label. That might be important to you. How about a lawnmower? Would you buy a lawnmower just based on what it looks and the price? No. You might want to know about how wide is the cut, how reputable is the brand, how long is the warranty, is it easy to make height adjustments? What are its safety features? Daycare. Would you pick out a daycare for your children just based on the outside of the building and the price? No. You would want to know, are they certified? Are they insured? What is the teacher-to-child ratio? The hours of operation? Do they have any past incidents that you should be aware of? What is their reputation? Do they offer educational programs during the day? Do they have mommy cams installed? And what is their location? I once used this car shopping analogy in a Facebook group and was attacked by, and I say attacked, but I was Facebook argued with by a few potential or brides who were getting married in that group, saying that that analogy was stupid, that a car was a tool and images were not. But I would like to go on the record here and state that images are definitely tools. Images are a tool that help you to remember tiny details of a very specific event in your history, especially when your memory starts to fade. An image has the power. Images are very powerful. And an image has the power to help you remember a song that might have been playing at a certain time, or the smell that was coming from the kitchen and what your mother may have been cooking, or how high your dad was able to toss you in the air when he came home from work. Images are most certainly tools. Hey, if you are loving the tips that I'm sharing on this podcast, please share a screenshot to your Instagram story and tag either Complete Wedding Ed or @agirlphoto. And just a quick reminder, my book that accompanies this podcast is available on Amazon and it's Prime eligible. All right, so let's get back to the podcast. So in order for couples to have a good understanding of what a good image is, I think we need to learn four things. We can't just look at an image and use our subjective ability to determine what a good image is. There are rules in photography that have been, quote unquote, developed over many, many years since the very first image was taken. And these rules, when used, rules are meant to be broken. There are instances when rules can be broken, but for the most part, these rules, when put into place and used correctly, are what makes an image a good image. So these four rules, I think if potential couples will learn these four rules, this will help them better choose better photographers. Number one, learn what a good exposure is. When something is blown out, like a wedding dress, a veil, or a sky, that means that something in the image lacks any detail. And when it's going to print or be displayed, you are not going to see any detail in that part of the image, and it's going to appear exactly like a piece of flat white paper. And that is not a good photo. Nothing in your photo, theoretically, should be devoid of information. So you should not have anything in your photo that is completely white or completely black. That does not make a good photo. And if you spend tons of money on your wedding dress, why would you not want the details of your wedding dress captured? Why would you want your wedding dress blown out if you're spending $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 on your wedding dress? Why would you want a photographer to capture your wedding dress or your wedding images and then photograph it in such a way that it does not capture any details of your wedding dress investment? Number two, learn what good color is. So an easy enough way to do this is look at people's skin tones. Does the skin look real? Do the people in the image look real? If the people look too orange, red, green, or blue, this is not good color balance. People's skin tones should look realistic. And just because a photographer is using a creative aesthetic to look like film, or dark and moody, or light and airy, but the people in the image do not look real, this is not a good image. This is not good color balance, and this is not good post-processing. This is a trend. Stay away from this photographer. Number three, learn what good framing is. So if anything in the image is intersecting with the subject's head in the image, horizons are the most common thing you will see intersecting with subjects' heads. But it could also be tree limbs or power lines or someone else's arm or a fence, anything in the foreground or background that is intersecting with the subject's head in an image, that is not good framing. The photographer did not take their time to ensure that they were making a good image. This is not good framing. Number four, good perspectives and angles. If every single image is taken from a photographer's standing position, this is not good perspective and does not provide the client with a good variety or a dynamic array of images. It doesn't tell a good story or provide varying interest to the viewer. A good story told in images is going to be told from varying perspectives and angles, meaning every single image is not just going to be taken from the photographer's standing position. A photographer should be getting low, getting high, getting close, and getting far in order to tell a complete story. They should be shooting from behind things, in front of things, low, high, close, and far. That is good perspective and good angles. All right, in closing, I understand that you have a perceived value, or you might have a perceived value of what you think you're able to afford, or what you think something may be worth. But stop letting that be the determining factor in choosing your wedding photographer. Educate yourself on some of the other very important key factors in choosing the person who is going to capture one of the most important days of your life. The very first step in this is learning a tiny bit about what it takes to make a good image. And yes, I agree that art is subjective, and you probably have a very good grip on what appeals to you, but please use these first steps to help guide you to a wedding photographer who is using sound photography techniques in their business practice. That's it for today, guys. That is the end of this episode. If you have a topic you'd like me to cover or a specific question you'd like me to answer, send me an email at tammy@attagirlphoto.com. I'd love for you to share a screenshot of wherever you listen today to your Instagram stories and tag either Complete Wedding Ed or @attagirlphoto. If you want to know more about my book, this podcast, or my wedding photography, all you have to do is log on to CompleteWeddingEd.com or @attagirlphoto.com. All the links to all the things are in my show notes. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a marvelous day. I will catch you next time. Adios.
Thank you for listening to the Complete Wedding Photography for Couples podcast. We hope you enjoyed your time, and we hope that you learned something to make your wedding photographs better and your wedding day less stressful. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts, so others just like you can set their wedding photographer up for success. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you again during the next episode.